Russian history from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, which you can find at http://en.wikipedia.org. The history of Russia begins with that of the East Slavs, the ethnic groups that eventually split into the Russians, Ukrainians, and Belarusians. The first East Slavic state, Kievan Rus, adopted Christianity from the Byzantine Empire in the 10th century, beginning the synthesis of Byzantine and Slavic cultures that defined Russian culture for the next 7 centuries. Kievan Rus ultimately disintegrated as a state, leaving a number of states competing for claims to be the heirs to the civilization and dominant position. After the 13th century, Muscovy gradually came to dominate the former cultural center. In the 18th century, the Principality of Muscovy had become the huge Russian Empire, stretching from Poland eastward to the Pacific Ocean. Expansion in the western direction sharpened Russia's awareness of its backwardness and shattered the isolation in which the initial stages of expansion had occurred. Successive regimes of the 19th century responded to such pressures with a combination of half-hearted reform and repression. Russian serfdom was abolished in 1861, but its abolition was achieved on terms unfavorable to the peasants, and served to increase revolutionary pressures. Between the abolition of serfdom and the beginning of World War I in 1940, the Stolypin reforms, the Constitution of 1906, and the State Duma introduced notable changes in economy and politics of Russia, but the Tsars were still not willing to cede autocratic rule. Military defeat and food shortages triggered the Russian Revolution in 1917, bringing the communist Bolsheviks to power. Between 1922 and 1991, the history of Russia is essentially the history of the Soviet Union, a fictively and ideologically based empire which was roughly coterminous with the Russian Empire, whose last monarch, Tsar Nicholas II, ruled until 1917. From its first years, government in the Soviet Union was based on one-party rule of the communists, as the Bolsheviks called themselves, beginning in March 1918. However, by the late 1980s, with the weaknesses of the economic and political structures becoming acute, significant changes in the economy and the party leadership spelt the end of the Soviet Union. The history of the Russian Federation is brief, dating back only to the collapse of the Soviet Union in late 1991. But Russia has existed as a state for over 1,000 years, and during most of the 20th century, Russia was the core of the Soviet Union. Since gaining its independence, Russia claimed to be the legal successor to the Soviet Union on the international stage. However, Russia lost its superpower status as it faced serious challenges in its efforts to forge a new post-Soviet political and economic system, scrapping the socialist central planning and state ownership of property of the Soviet era. Russia attempted to build an economy with elements of market capitalism, with often painful results. Russia today shares many continuities of political culture and social structure with its Tsarist and Soviet past. The question of how well Russia's fragile democratic and federal institutions will fare in the meantime is in doubt, with recent signs of the presidency increasing its already tight control over parliament, regional office holders, and civil society. Early East Slavs. The ancestors of the Russians were the Slavic tribes, who whose original home is thought by some scholars to have been the wooded areas of the Premet Marshes, moving into the lands vacated by the migrating Germanic tribes, the Eastern Slavs, the ancestors of the Russians who occupied the lands between the Carpathians and the Don River, were subject to Greek-Christian influences. Whilst the fortunes of the Byzantine Empire had been ebbing, its culture was a continuous influence upon the development of Russia in its formative centuries. Khazaria. The Khazars were Turkic people who inhabited the lower Volga basin steppes between the Caspian and Black Seas from the 7th to 13th centuries. In the 8th centuries, the Khazars embraced Judaism. Itil, near modern Abkhazstan, was their capital. Noted for their laws, tolerance, and cosmopolitanism, the Khazars were the main commercial link between the Baltic and the Muslim Abbasid Empire, centered in Baghdad. In the 8th and 9th centuries, many East Slavic tribes paid tribute to the Khazars. Their dominance began to slip, however, at the end of that period, where Oleg Varangian Warrior moved south to Novgorod to expel the Khazars from Kiev and founded Kievan Rus around the year 880. Slavic and nomadic Turkic invaders brought about the final downfall of Khazar rule in the 10th century. Kievan Rus. Scandinavian horsemen, called Varangians by the Byzantines, combined piracy and trade and began to venture along the waterways from the eastern Baltic to the Black and Caspian Seas. The Slavic settlers along the rivers often hired the Varangians as protectors. According to the earliest chronicle of Kievan Rus, a Varangian named Rurik became prince of Novgorod in about 860, before his successors moved south and extended their authority to Kiev. By the late 19th century, the Varangian ruler of Kiev had established his supremacy over a large area that gradually became known as Russia. The name Russia, together with the Finnish Ruotsi and the Estonian Rutsi, are found by some scholars to be related to Roslagen. The meaning of Rus is debated, and other schools of thought connect the name with Slavic or Persian roots. Kievan Rus, the first East Slavic state, emerged in the 9th century along the Dnieper River Valley, a coordinated group of princely states with a common interest in maintaining trade across the river routes. Kievan Rus controlled the trade route for fur racks, and slaves between Scandinavia and the Byzantine Empire along the Dnieper River. By the end of the 10th century, the Norse minority had merged with the Slavic population. Among the lasting achievements of Kievan Rus are the introduction of a Slavic variant of the Eastern Orthodox religion, dramatically deepening the synthesis of Byzantine and Slavic cultures that defined Russian culture for the next 1,000 years. The region adopted Christianity in 988 by the official act of public baptism of Kiev, inhabitants by Prince Vladimir I. Some years later, the first code of laws, Ruskaya Pravda, was introduced. From the onset, the Kievan princes followed the Byzantine example and kept the church dependent on them, even for its revenues, so that the Russian church and state were always closely linked. By the 11th century, particularly during the reign of Yaroslav the Wise, Kievan Rus could boast an economy and achievements in architecture and literature superior to those that then existed in the western part of the continent. Compared to the languages of Eastern Christendom, the Russian language was little introduced by the Greek and Latin of early Christian writings. This was due to the fact that Church Slavonic was used directly in liturgy instead. Kievan Rus ultimately disintegrated as a state because of the armed struggles among members of the princely family that collectively possessed it. Conquest by the Mongols in the 13th century was the final blow. In later years, a number of states claimed to be the heirs to the civilization and dominant position of the Kievan Rus. Muscovy, the eventual heir, was located at the far northern edge of the former country center. Volga Bulgaria was a non-Slavic state on the Middle Volga. After the Mongol invasion, it became a part of Golden Horde. The Chuvash and Kazan Tatars are descendants of the Volga Bulgars. By the 10th century, Volga Bulgaria was converted to Islam, which made it independent of Khazaria. In the 16th century, Russia conquered the Volga lands under Tsar Ivan IV, Ivan the Terrible. Mongol invasion. The invaded Mongols accelerated the fragmentation of Kievan Rus. In 1223, the Kievan Rus faced a Mongol raiding party at the Kalka River and was soundly defeated. In 1240, the Mongols sacked the city of Kiev and then moved west into Poland and Hungary. By then, they had conquered most of the Russian principalities. Of the principalities of Kievan Rus, only Novgorod escaped occupation. The impact of the Mongol invasion on the territories of Kievan Rus was uneven. Centers such as Kiev never recovered from the devastation of the initial attack. Immigrants who left southern Russia to escape the Mongols gravitated mostly to the northeast, where the soil was better and the rivers more conducive to commercial development. It was this region that provided the nucleus of the modern Russian state in the late medieval period. However, Novgorod continued to prosper, and a new entity, Muscovy, began to flourish under the Mongols. The Mongols dominated Russia from their western capital at Sarai on the Volga River, near the modern city of Volgograd. The princes of southern and eastern Russia had to pay tribute to the Mongols, commonly known as Tatars, or the Golden Horde, but in return they received charters authorizing them to act as deputy to the Khans. In general, the princes were allowed considerable freedom to rule as they wished. One of them, Alexander Nevsky, Prince of Vladimir, acquired heroic status in the mid-13th century as a result of major victories over the Teutonic Knights, the Swedes and the Lithuanians. To the Orthodox Church and most princes, the Westerners seemed a greater threat to the Russian way of life than the Mongols. Nevsky obtained Mongol protection and assistance in fighting invaders to the west, who, hoping to profit from the Russian collapse since the Mongol invasions, tried to grab territory. Even so, Nevsky's successors would later come to challenge Tatar rule. The Mongols left their impact on the Russians in such areas as military tactics and the development of trade routes. Under Mongol occupation, Muscovy also developed its postal road network, census, fiscal system, and military organization. Eastern influence remained strong well until the 18th century, when Russian rulers made a conscious effort to westernize their country. Muscovy. Daniil Aleksandrovich, the youngest son of Nevsky, founded the Principality of Muscovy, based in the city of Moscow, which eventually expelled the Tatars from Russia. Well situated in the central river system of Russia and surrounded by protective forests and marshes, Muscovy was at first only a vassal of Vladimir, but soon it absorbed its parent state. A major factor in the ascendancy of Muscovy was the cooperation of its rulers with the Mongol overlords, who granted them the title of Grand Prince of Russia and made them agents for collecting the Tatar tribute from the Russian principalities. The principality's prestige was further enhanced when it became the center of the Russian Orthodox Church. Its head, the Metropolitan, fled from Kiev to Vladimir in 1299, and a few years later established the permanent headquarters of the church in Moscow. By the middle of the 14th century, the power of the Mongols was declining, and the Grand Princes felt able to openly oppose the Mongol yoke. In 1380, at Kulkivo on the Dun River, the Khan was defeated, and although this hard-fought victory did not end Tartar rule of Russia. It did bring great fame to the Grand Prince. Moscow's leadership in Russia was now firmly based, and by the middle of the 14th century, its territory had greatly expanded through purchase, war, and marriage. In the 14th century, the Grand Princes of Muscovy began gathering Russian lands to increase the population and wealth under their rule. The most successful practitioner of this process was Ivan III, Ivan the Great, who laid the foundations for a Russian national state. A contemporary of the Tudors and other new monarchs in Western Europe, Ivan more than doubled his territories by placing most of North Russia under the rule of Moscow. He proclaimed his absolute sovereignty over all Russian princes and nobles. Refusing further tribute to the Tartars, Ivan initiated a series of attacks that opened the way for the complete defeat of the declining Godel horde, now divided into several khanates. Ivan III was the first Muscovite ruler to use the title of Tsar, derived from Caesar, and he viewed Moscow as the Third Rome, the successor of Constantinople, the New Rome. Since Rome fell in 420, and the Byzantine Empire in 1453 to the Ottoman Turks, Moscow concluded now fell to the Third Rome to save Christian civilization. Ivan completed with his powerful northwestern rival Lithuania for control over some of the semi-independent former principalities of Kievan Rus in the Upper Dnieper and Donets river basins. Though the defections of some princes, border skirmishes, and long inconclusive war with Lithuania that only ended in 1503, Ivan III was able to push westward as Muscovy tripled in size under his rule. Internal consolidation accompanied outward expansion of the state. By the 15th century, the rulers of Moscow concluded their entire Russian territory their collective property. Various semi-independent princes still claimed specific territories, but Ivan III forced the lesser princes to acknowledge the Grand Prince of Muscovy and his descendants as unquestioned rulers with control of military, judicial, and foreign affairs. Gradually, the Muscovite ruler emerged as a powerful autocratic ruler, Tsar. The development of the Tsar's autocratic powers reached a peak during the reign of 1547-1584 of Ivan IV, who became known as Ivan the Terrible. Ivan strengthened the position of the Tsar to an unprecedented degree, as Ivan ruthlessly subordinated the nobles to his will, exiling or executing many on the slightest provocation. Nevertheless, Ivan was a far-sighted statesman who promulgated a new code of laws, reformed the morals of the clergy, and built the great St. Basil's Cathedral that still stands in Moscow's Red Square. Ivan's death in 1584 was followed by a period of civil wars known as the Time of Troubles over the succession and resurgence of the power of the nobility. The autocracy survived the Time of Troubles and the rule of weak or corrupt tsars because of the strength of the government's central bureaucracy. Government functionaries continued to serve, regardless of the ruler's legitimacy or the faction controlling the throne. The succession disputes during the Time of Troubles caused the loss of much territory to the Poland-Lithuanian Commonwealth and to Sweden during wars known as the Dmitriads, the Ingrian War, and the Smolensk War. Recovery for Russia came in the mid-17th century, when successful wars with the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth brought substantial gains, including Smolensk, Kiev, and the eastern half of Ukraine. Order was restored in 1813, when Mikhail Romanov, the grandnephew of Ivan the Terrible, was elected to the throne by National Assembly that included representatives from 50 cities. The Romanov dynasty ruled Russia until 1917. The immediate task of the new dynasty was to restore power. Fortunately for Moscow, its major enemies, the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth and Sweden were engaged in a bitter conflict with each other, which provided Muscovy the opportunity to make peace with Sweden in 1617 and to sign a truce with the Polish-Lithuanian community in 1619. Rather than risk the estates in more civil war, the grand nobles, or boyars, cooperated with the first Romanovs, enabling them to finish the work of bureaucratic centralization. Thus, the state required service from both the old and new nobility, primarily in the military. In return, tsars allowed the boyars to complete the process of enserfing the peasants. In the preceding century, the state had gradually curtailed peasant rights to move from one landlord to another. With the state now fully sanctioning serfdom, runaway peasants became state fugitives. Landlords had complete power over their peasants, and bought, sold, traded, and mortgaged them. Together, the state and the nobles placed an overwhelming burden on taxation on the peasants, whose rate was 100 times greater in the mid-17th century than it had been a century earlier. In addition, middle-class urban tradesmen and craftsmen were assessed taxes, and like the serfs, they were forbidden to change residence. All segments of the population were subject to military levy and special taxes. In a period where peasant disorders were endemic, the greatest peasant uprising in 17th century Europe erupted in 1667, as the Cossacks reacted against the growing centralization of the state. Serfs joined their revolts and escaped from their landlords in joining them. The Cossack rebel Stenska Razin led his followers up the Volga River, inciting peasant uprising and replacing local governments with Cossack rule. The Tsar's army finally crushed his